Welcome to Real Estate I Love It podcast. I'm Shelley Hoffman, real estate expert and community advisor. Join me and various guests who are expert in what they do, such as home inspectors, mortgage brokers, investors, wholesalers. There are so many aspects to our industry that most people are not aware of, and I'm here to help you learn about them. I'm an educator by trade, and this podcast is to educate you in the world of real estate. Everybody, it's Shelley Hoffman and Mark Cardone. Mark is an area broker here in Central New York, and one of my favorite people to actually work with, although I don't tell him that. Can't believe I just said that live. But Mark, you mainly focus, even though you help agents in the residential world, you focus a lot on commercial real estate, right?
Yes.
So that's why I asked you to come on the podcast with me today. So how are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me. This is fun.
Of course. Ironic that I have you on April Fool's Day, just because you do like pranks and jokes and bad dad jokes, right?
Very goofy. Yeah. Very goofy. It's my favorite day of the year.
Is it?
Every day is my favorite day of the year.
If you don't follow Mark on Instagram, you should, because he did do something this morning that I asked him for the results of and he wouldn't tell me, but he put a cup on the door to go into the bathroom, and he posted on Instagram. So he's wondering if his wife will look at her Instagram account first or go to the bathroom first.
And let me tell you, when you put a cup above your bathroom door, make sure you know how to get out of the bathroom first.
I thought about that. I was
you
wondering
can get locked
how
in.
You managed to do that. So
it is quite a task.
So funny. So the reason I asked you today is because, you know that I dab in commercial real estate. I have no problem helping people, but I will occasionally call you to ask for advice or, maybe if there's a property and vice versa, but the big thing I want to cover is two things today. One is, which I said across the bottom, if you read it, giving advice on purchasing commercial real estate, because it is a little bit different if you're going to make your first, purchase for it. And then also, just advice in general for people that, maybe want to get into commercial real estate if they're in residential. So let's start with the first piece. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to, which actually I did when I was looking at the building that I purchased here in Baldwinsville, you actually walked through it with me a little bit, right? Because yep. It was the first big commercial piece of property that I was buying. So when someone calls you on the phone and says, I'm starting a business, I think I want some brick and mortar to go with it. What types of questions do you typically ask them so that they can be prepared?
There's a lot of different things with that. So number one, like if you're somebody who's starting a business and you want a building for that business, we typically say like, don't own your house in that aspect, right? Like buying property when you're starting a business, you end up starting two businesses. So, you know, if you're a bakery and then you buy your building, now you're a bakery and a landlord, right? And yes, you're a landlord for yourself, right? Which is great if you're the only person in the building. But then you have to deal with things like roof leaks, things like mowing the lawn, things like making sure the flowers get watered. And when you're starting a business, even if it's an operating business, you know, a lot of my SBA clients, I tell them what happens is it takes away from your sales time and your production time, you know, so like, you know, when we start a business, it's not a 24-hour job, it's a 28-hour job, you know, especially that first year or two. And if you have to deal with real estate related issues, it can, you know, it's easy enough to get distracted with laundry and errands and other things, you know, adding being a landlord into that is tough. And I've even had people come to me and say, well, what if I get a multi-tenant building? You know, so there's like four tenants that pay the bills. And then now you have, you know, tenant relations, all that stuff. So like, if you're looking for a space for your business, especially if you're new, rent it. That is amazingly easy.
And a lot of times people say, yeah, but then that rent is eating my profit, right? But to your point, it's expensive, you know, to own your building. So a lot of your profit is going into the building maintenance as opposed to just that rent. And at least that's a fixed expense. You know what that's going to be every month, right?
I don't know. It's funny. You talked about Instagram. I shared on Instagram the other day. I had a squirrel. Like I was in my office, in my desk the other day, and I had a squirrel above the light, like above the glass, like laying, kind of chilling there.
In your building?
In my office, I looked up and I have like the, you know, the lights, and we're in the Village of Liverpool. So it's an older building and it's beautiful, but you know, like things like this happen occasionally. So we had a squirrel literally laying in between the bulbs and the glass and just kind of chilling there. And if I had to call someone to deal with that, number one, it would have taken time. I would have had to look it up. I would have had to do it. You know, number two, I would have had to pay somebody to do it. It was way easier for me just to kind of buzz my landlord and say, hey, there's a squirrel. Like, we need to deal with this. And the next day, there's no squirrel.
Right.
You know, so it takes like very little time, just enough to send a text. And, you know, and when I give people that advice, I say, take all the money you're making in your business from that extra focus and invest it in things like multifamily, things like office buildings that, you know, like you can still be a real estate investor without locking yourself in. Because another issue that I see even experienced businesses run into is when they get to their exit plan, they have this piece of real estate that nobody wants.
Yeah.
You know, so they try to sell it because commercial real estate is very specific for your business. If it's a, you know, diner, now you have to find another diner who wants to buy it or someone who wants to put money into it. It gets very confusing.
It's funny you mentioned your squirrel because I think I told you, maybe I didn't, but I do own a piece of property out on Cross Lake and a contractor had gone in to do some work for me and there were skunks. So now up at my camp, I have skunk traps because I received that phone call that said, hey, there's a skunk. Yeah. And, you know, and again, if you're a good landlord, you know, you're going to take care of it within 24 hours. Otherwise, you're not going to have good tenants, right?
Yeah.
So you have to, you have to be on top of things.
And you know, one of the other things with real estate with for business owners especially is, you know, say and we've seen this happen even with like very experienced national businesses where they come in and they have a lot of struggles in upstate New York because there's just not a lot for sale. You know, so they say, well, I don't want to lease. I only want to own property. And I want to be in this particular area because this is where our customer is, which is like a number one priority. And then they end up losing out to a competitor who is willing to lease space and start making money there today, you know, versus being a little too picky on the real estate criteria.
Well, and definitely we've seen that a little bit here in Baldwinsville lately, you know, I'm sure Liverpool as well. You know, we want the big chains to come in here because they draw in, right? Chick-fil-A went into Cicero. And the line was blocking traffic because people want to get into that. But the traffic flow and all that comes into play. I don't know if Beeville could handle a Chick-fil-A actually going. There is one going in Clay, which is close enough for my teenagers. But
totally. Very close.
So let's take it to the next step. Obviously, to your point, if you're starting a business, maybe purchasing that property isn't exactly what you want to do. I know that you help people find rentals as well. So let's say that they decided to rent space. And they're going to their business, the space that they love, the location of it, but the interior isn't exactly what they're looking for. There are things that you guys do in your world where you can tweak the layout, like maybe take a wall down, put a wall up, but that all gets negotiated out, right? At the beginning of the lease.
Yeah. I mean, you know, commercial real estate's very ask for everything and get limited things, right? So, you know, if you don't ask for it, you don't get it. And if you don't ask for it, you can guarantee a landlord's not going to volunteer that they would offer it if you did ask for it. You know what I mean? Like, you know, if a landlord says, well, geez, I've got a $10,000 budget on build out and you don't ask for any build out, they're not going to chime in and say, well, wait a minute, though, I have this $10,000 here that I was going to spend on the build out. Maybe you will. I've met landlords who are just like that. But 99% of the time, if you don't ask, you know, hey, you know, what are you putting into the build out? Things like that, you get nothing,
right?
You know, but one of the great things about commercial space is typically once you rent a space, you can do whatever you want to it, you know, and even, you know, if you're adjusting mechanicals and moving ducts and piping, you know, you just have to give the landlord a copy of the plans, you know, and make sure they know what's going on so that when you leave, you know, they have some kind of record of what you did. You know, and if you really do something weird, sometimes they want you to return it to something closer that's a little more manageable. But yeah, you know, commercial real estate's largely what you ask for, especially when it comes to leasing. And it's, you know, one of the reasons that I, you know, that we work with the SBA is because most business owners just don't know what to ask for. They go into it thinking, well, like, I know what rent is, right? Like, I know it costs something. And that's kind of the joke, right? Like, that's the only thing we know to speak about, right? Like, I know it costs something. I don't know what else to ask. And that's usually where they get tripped up because they forget to ask about things like, you know, lease term. They forget to ask about things like, you know, rent increases. And then those things just get defaulted to whatever the landlord asks for later.
Well, and just like in residential, a lot of times we have somebody that makes the phone call on the sign. They talk to the listing agent. They want to work with the listing agent because they feel they know the house better, but the listing agent is technically working for the seller, right? That's mm-hmm. We have agency. We have a lot of paperwork, as you know, in residential through the Department of State that's not there in the commercial world a lot. So if somebody sees a sign that says space for rent and they call the number on that sign, is it true that in commercial, that person's technically working for the landlord and they may not get the best terms that they could if they went and got representation for themselves?
Typically. I mean, typically, if there's a sign in the window, it's a landlord representative and they work for the landlord. And then we tell people, you know, everything you say can and will be held against you. You know what I mean? So when you walk in and go, I love it, I can't wait to take it, then, you know, the rent is not going down, right? when you call, this is really good. Like sometimes, like we'll have a sign in a window and someone will call us literally three times within an hour because they really want to see the space. No negotiating there, right? Like we know how bad you want it. It is what it is. So yeah, typically when there's a sign in the window, they're working for the landlord, you know, and agency is a big thing with commercial real estate, but we don't really have the amount of like documentation and paperwork that residential does. You know, really, I think really just because there's less of us, really? You know, and we all kind of know each other and we all kind of stay in our lane, for lack of a better word.
Well, how would somebody, let's say that I put a sign on the outside of my building and I said, you know, I have space available, instead mm-hmm. of somebody calling me, which, as you know, I'm probably the most, you know, mm-hmm. giving landlord out there. Although don't ask Tina Solomon that, because she wanted to wallpaper her wall. And I was like, wallpaper's tough to come back down. So, mm-hmm. but I think she ended up wallpapering it. Point being is, if they call me, how would they find someone like you? Can you literally Google commercial and do commercial brokers usually want to work with people who are trying to find rental spaces? Or are they looking for the, because that's a conception. They want those big commercial sales.
They do. And, you know, so as far as how to find somebody, like most of my clients come from referrals from other people. So if you're starting a business and you're looking for real estate, it's always a good thing to, you know, ask somebody that you know in the business world, who have you worked with that's good? Because, you know, tenant representation, which is, you know, like 95% of what I do, it's less about finding space. That's kind of the misconception, right? It's, hey, can you find me a space? Mm-hmm. What a good tenant rep's going to do is they're going to sit down with you and they're going to understand what you're looking for. They're going to help you understand, you know, why a space is better than other spaces. Who are the customers, and, you know, is the space convenient for those customers? Are the other businesses around, you know, is there that symbiosis, you know, with the other tenants? So, you know, does it make sense? It, you know, is the pizza shop next to the dance studio price, you know, like, is your pizza shop priced to attract those moms and dads who are bringing their kids to dance, you know, right on the way out? So a good tenant rep's going to walk you through that process. They're going to help you kind of understand what you can afford, you know, and really normally the business owners find the space once they know that, because then they're thinking about it and they go, oh, this is exactly where I want to be, you know. But, you know, usually it's asking other businesses, hey, who have you worked with? And I tell people to do that with everything. I don't care if you're looking for credit card processing, marketing agencies, anything. Talk to other business owners that you've worked with, because they'll tell you. I mean, you know, I've never had a business owner say, well, you know, I don't want to tell you who I worked with because they were really good.
No, well, and that's a heck of a point. I just, like I said, it's so easy for residential. We're everywhere, right? We're plastered all over social media. You type mm-hmm. in real estate CNY and 100 people show up. But yeah. I never thought about that before as far as for commercial. Until I spoke with you, I don't think I ever really had a conversation with anybody outside of maybe a large brokerage where you see their sign and mm-hmm. that's the person that you think about working with. You know?
Well, and you know, when it's funny too, when you talk about being kind of everywhere, because you're right, like residential agents, like when you have a house on the market, it goes, you want it everywhere. They want it on the walls. They want it plastered to billboards. And, you know, something that's interesting that, you know, a lot of the spaces we find, you know, because in residential, usually when you buy a house, you're moving into a house while the other person's moving out, right? It's just kind of like a smooth in and out. In commercial real estate, 80% of the good deals work that way. You know, but what happens is if you have like a restaurant that's closing, they're not going to want to advertise it 8 months ahead of time.
Right.
You know what I mean? So you really have to kind of be in the know with the owners of the building, you know, because they'll kind of give you the download and say, hey, you know, this thing's thinking, we got this call this morning, you know, like this restaurant's leaving in 3 weeks. We don't want anyone to know because we don't want to hurt their business for the next 3 weeks. You know, but if you could start kind of letting people know,
well, we kind of talked about that a little bit, like locally, right? If somebody's close to getting retiring and they don't really want to let people know that they're going to retire, but at the same time, they don't want to be stuck with a building that they own for you know, 6 months because they waited until the last day that they were working. So it makes sense.
Syracuse has an awful rumor mill, you know, and that's the thing. Like, you know, when we work with someone who's selling a business, that's the biggest concern they have is, you know, we've got 4 restaurants that we're working on selling right now. And the biggest concern from the owners is, well, if my employees find out, they're all going to leave. And then the business isn't going to be worth anything because I'm not going to be doing any business.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so it's, you know, there's a lot to commercial real estate. I think that people don't, and residential too. I mean, I think, you know, most people are, you know, me included, when I bought my first house, like most people are extremely uneducated when it comes to negotiating and, you know, kind of the market and things like that. And with commercial real estate, I think it's quasi amplified a little bit.
No, I agree. I mean, we've had more conversations where you're like, oh, maybe you could get into real commercial side. And it's too gray. Like, I'm a straight, like, this is the contract. These are the rules, these are the regulations. And commercial feels like it has so much gray to it. Like, I always wonder, am I doing the best for my clients? Do I know everything that I could know that could get them that better deal? You know, the build outs, the payouts, you know, with that lack of right. Turns out, Mark, I am a rules and regulations kind of girl. You might not have known that about me.
I get that.
But I am. And it's and it's crazy to me that commercial is not necessarily, and what I've come across has not exactly been like that. So I've appreciated
your expertise. And you know, I mean, we're licensed, we have all the same rules and regulations as everybody else. And, you know, really it's more of a, you know, kind of a documentation difference. You know, it's, you know, commercial real estate just seems to have slightly less documentation than what residential does. And a lot of it is, again, because we don't, you know, people don't want to necessarily publicize. You know, like a landlord doesn't want to kill a business 6 months before they leave. So,
yeah, I don't think I ever thought about it that way until recently when we were having that conversation.
Yeah,
because it does make sense. So let's say that the person has been running for 2 or 3 years. They've outgrown the space. They definitely have the capital, right? Because it's to get a commercial loan, it's 20% down typically.
Yeah.
So they have that money. They want to purchase. Is the process different between buying a commercial property and buying residential? Is it all pretty much?
It really depends on the type of property. It can be, you know what I mean? Cause usually when you buy a residential property, you're not worried about things like, phase 1 environmental, you know, and, you know, was this property ever a gas station, a dry cleaner, or an oil field, you know? Cause a lot of those things will hinge on the bank's financing of the property, you know? So usually the process is very similar, you know, as far as the closing process and title and deed and all that stuff. It's really more, the biggest difference is kind of in the timeline, you know, because those things take time. You know, I mean, if you're, you know, thinking about buying a building that you're currently in and you've been operating there and you kind of have, you know, that history, it's a lot easier because it's easy to lend money to somebody who's already making money there. You know, but other than that, yeah, the process is really similar. Just get a good lender. You know, we have a ton of great lenders in upstate New York. Just, you know, pick a nice local bank or community bank and figure it out.
Can you give an idea of that environmental test? Because people, I mean, you mentioned gas station, obviously common sense, but what's that process? Because there's a couple levels to that, right?
Depending on the outcome of this one. So the phase 1, I mean, I'm not an expert in it. So, you know, nobody quote me on this.
Don't hold you to it.
Yeah. The phase 1 is really just kind of an observation, you know, so they don't even really visit the site. They look at it and say, well, historically, what has it been? You know, have they had a dry cleaner here that's been, you know, leaking chemicals into the ground? Have there been, you know, kind of any of those things? And then usually if the phase 1's clean, you don't have to do a phase 2. The phase 1's usually, I don't know, $1,000, $2,000. And then if you have to go to a phase 2, that means they found something in the phase 1 that was concerning and they need to make sure the ground's clean, right? You know, so during the phase 2, they'll do borings and they'll do soil samples and they'll check out the property to make sure that it's clean. And if it's not, then, you know, they'll give you some mitigation things that you have to do to make sure that, you know, I mean, because people can get sick, people can, you know, you have drinking water, you have, you know, all those things. So, you know, they're important things to know.
And I'm assuming it's like residential, everything's negotiable. So if there's something that comes up, then you can negotiate the.
You know, funny enough, there's not a lot of inspections per se in commercial real estate, like residential, you know, where you have like an actual inspector come in and walk around the property and give you feedback, but it's really good idea. You know, I mean, some of the, I think a lot of the bigger companies, they have people internally that do it, you know, that'll check out your HVAC, you know, check out your system, check out the stuff that's really expensive. But if you're not, like, if you feel like you couldn't get on a roof, put a tarp on it with a tire over it to stop it from leaking, then you want to call somebody to look at it to make sure you don't have to do that.
Gotcha.
Like, I'm afraid of spiders. So, like, if I was going to buy a commercial building, the first thing I would do is make sure there's no spiders.
Squirrels are fine, apparently.
Squirrels are, yeah, they're cool. They're nuts.
They are nuts. So, and I, you know, so again, I'm asking questions about things that I've come across because I figure if I have, people have, or they will, right?
Totally.
So if somebody wants to buy, someone wants to sell their business and they're okay advertising because they actually want to sell it so somebody else can carry on what they're doing. That's their hope, right?
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of write-offs in business and banks want to see that the business is making a profit.
Mm-hmm.
And again, not that you can answer this as an expert, but just as a somebody that might help them sell it, right? Do you have to watch the amount of write-offs? If you know within 5 years, you're going to want to sell, you're going to want to retire, you're going to want to sell your business. I mean, is that kind of a trigger to maybe not to write off so much so that the person who wants to purchase, the bank can see the profit? Or does it, you know, at the end of the day, the numbers are the numbers and they should be able to see it through the expenses? This,
you know, it's funny. That's something that comes up a lot, you know, especially with like rest, like if you own a restaurant, you know, like restaurants are huge with this and it's, you know, whatever that typically when you sell a business, it's based on your free cash, what comes out at the end, you know? So if you're clearing $90,000 a year, they put a multiplier on that number and that gives you your sale price. And that's also, you know, kind of how the banks look at it when they're financing it. So, you know, sometimes you'll get that answer like, well, you know, we don't really show a lot of that. You know, because we take, you know, we do whatever we do. And that's, you can't really have your cake and eat it too. You know, you can have the money now or you can have the money later. You know, so the, you know, obviously the more cash flow, the more the business is worth to a lender. Well, you know, but interestingly, like one of the things with business purchases that's been coming up a lot is the value of the building, you know, because, you know, that makes up a portion of that number and making sure you allocate the right number to that makes the process go a lot smoother. You know, because if you own the building and you're selling that as part of the business, you know, usually the lender will say, okay, here's this much for this and here's this much for the business. And sometimes what they try to do is they try to inflate, you know, the value of the business or the value of the building to make up for shortfalls in the value of the business. And then they come back and the lender says, I can't finance that building for that much money. Like it's just not worth it.
When they do the appraisal, you mean? Because they'll do an appraisal just a residential.
Yeah, because they're going to look at comps. They're going to look at other sales. And, you know, I mean, you know, 10, 20% is one thing. But, so, you know, I've seen buildings 60, 70% over value to make up the numbers. And, you know, it's a lot less of a guessing game than I think people make it out to be.
So making that comparison back to residential again, you know, let's take the community of Radisson, where there's so many houses that are 4 bedrooms, 2.5 baths, you know, exit 2,100 square feet. You know, it makes it easier to do that market analysis. You have a general idea for a business, for the commercial building. Where do you find the comps? I mean, all if you drive down Liverpool, you drive through Beeville, these houses, they're not the same buildings, right?
Right. And that's one of the hardest things for commercial real estate because, you know, I mean, when I sell a building, I might toss in the equipment. I might toss in the chairs and the plates. You know, this building might not toss in the plates. They might toss in the equipment, but not the, you know, fixtures, you know, so, and that stuff's not as clearly documented usually as it, I mean, it is, but it's not publicly documented. You know, there's no like records in the MLS that, you know, the residential is easy. You just type in, you know, 3-bedroom minus in this community, here's everything. It's very time consuming and there's not a lot of comps. So, you know, sometimes you're at the mercy of the last deal that happened that's kind of the closest as possible, you know, and, you know, a real estate agent will be able to find that for you.
Do you think my clock on my building adds any additional value to this building by chance now that it's working?
I think if you hung Doc like a little cardboard cutout of Doc Doc Brown from Back to the Future on it, I think it would be exponentially more valuable.
I will, when I go to sell this building and I call you, I will make sure I have that cut out so you drive up.
You have an amazing building. I absolutely love your building.
I love that the clock is working now, Mark. I got to be honest with you.
Yep, totally.
So I don't want to take up too much time because obviously this is our busy season, but that being said, I mean, there's just so many unknowns, right, in the commercial world. And no, just like residential, no two transactions are ever the same.
Yeah.
So if you have somebody that they're not right to the point where they want to call someone like you yet to start looking around, but they're just kind of figuring things out on their own, where's a good place to start just to kind of gather that information? Kind of like in our residential world, it's the open houses, it's the drive-bys, you know, it's Zillow, right?
Yeah. I mean, if you just like, it's really, so it's funny. Another thing is, you know, commercial brokers, we get a ton of phone calls. Like we get a lot of phone calls from people who, you know, are never going to do anything, like tire kickers galore. Right. So it becomes very hard. And one of the biggest complaints that small businesses have is they go, nobody's calling me back, you know, and 90% of the time it's usually because, you know, either they're just super busy. You know, sometimes the space isn't available, but a lot of times it's just, they don't think you're serious for whatever reason. You know, so making sure that you present yourself really well when you start the process is good. But if they're not ready to get into it, like a great thing to do is just visit similar spaces, similar businesses, check them out, talk to business owners and see what kind of terms they got. Every deal is going to be different. It's like fingerprints, you know, like they're all going to be a little bit different. But if you can start to understand, especially the mistakes, one thing I get a lot of value from is hearing the mistakes that business owners made on their first one or two transactions. Right. That's where like the gold is, because you'll find they're all pretty much the same five or six mistakes, you know, and that's part of what we fold into our SBA classes, you know, is, you know, here's the things you should watch out for.
Can you give one or two of those mistakes just to kind of give that, that
shortly? Short lease terms. Short lease terms kill so many businesses. They go, well, I just want a year, you know, and then they'll get a year lease with no control over the space. You know, renting property is about control. Like you want to basically own that space as long as you need it, you know, and if you sign a 1 year lease on a really good deal, there's no reason, like there's no rules as far as what the landlord can charge you the next year. You know, and that's the biggest issue there. You know, if you open a pizza shop and you're getting a great deal and you're on a 1 year lease, there's no reason he can't rent that space to another pizza shop the next year and charge them twice what you're paying, you know, and you've already done all the work. Another thing that we actually ran into this a lot, and people who are listening who know Shopping Town and Great Northern, you know, I mean, this is a really, really huge thing. A lot of people flock to the malls because they wanted really low rents, you know, and they got them. You know, and take away the lack of property management that they got because they really just got low rents. The one thing they really lost was they built their business on this rent number that doesn't exist in the real world. You know, so their rents were so far below market that when they came to us and they said, hey, we need an 8,000 square foot spot to move our business to, and we're paying $600 a month. You know, they basically just, that's why they didn't move out of the mall, because there's nowhere to go.
I was wondering why people stayed, you know, when everything around it was
horribly low rents. Horribly low rents, like great deals. And I've told people, if you're just looking for cheap space, that's a great spot. We put a karate school into Shopping Town, you know, and we were just eyes wide open. When your roof leaks, don't call the landlord, like climb up on the roof and cover it up with some of that, whatever that stuff is you can make the boat out of, right? This flex seal. But yeah, I mean, those are two of the biggest ones, is people looking for like really, really low rent and short lease term. That's not saying you shouldn't look for low rent. Like you should look for low rent, but you should look for low rent that's somewhere within the realm of market.
Well, it goes back to you get what you pay for, right? Yeah. In everything, not just in real estate, but in life. You go and you buy a cheap piece of furniture and you want it to last 10 years. No. Not gonna last. So, well, like I said, for those of you that are watching this on the Facebook as opposed to the podcast, I'll put Mark's information out there. But Mark, you know, just want to you know, shout out your Instagram. So I know you give like tips and things like that through your Instagram account, and then that way anybody's just listening, they can have it.
I'm at Mark Cardone everywhere. MarkCardone. Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, you name it, I'm there. MarkCardone.com is the website.
So last question then, because you just brought up, what do you do for your TikTok account? Just kind of curious.
I don't, you know, honestly, it's funny. TikTok's one of those anomalies where you'll never actually get, I don't think you'll ever get customers from it, but you have from a marketing perspective, the amount of creativity that people have in their videos and editing and stuff like that, if you just snag a couple ideas, you get a great response from all the people outside of TikTok that don't use TikTok.
You mean when you post it to your other social media platforms?
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, like you can, I mean, I hate saying steal ideas, but there's some really creative stuff on TikTok that nobody's doing outside of there. And if you just kind of gently coast it into your branding, it's great.
Really? Well, there's some social media advice along with some commercial real estate advice from Mark Cardone. Perfect. Well, thank you, Mark. I appreciate you being here today and giving us the information and your time.
Hey, thanks for having me. Anytime.
Perfect. So I will talk to you soon, and then hopefully we'll have you on so people can hear us soon. So enjoy the rest of your day and April Fool's Day. Enjoy it.
Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode of Real Estate I Love It. Be sure to subscribe and leave a review on whatever stream platform you're using for your podcast. See you next time.